Thank you, Father. I believe part of that life declaration was connected to what the Lord would have me share tonight, and it's just simply death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. And Virginia and I were talking today about some of this stuff. And what became apparent is that we live in a culture that is obsessed with death. And even in the church, obsessed with death to a degree. But it's time for us to become obsessed with life. Because that is what we've been given, is life. We've been given life. And if there's anything in us that wants to remain focused on death, then it's time for that to shift and change. And for the truth to come. That we've been given life. So part of what we need to realize is that as we believe that all things are being restored, and as we continue to let Father reveal what those things are, you've heard me say at different times, it's mainly coming from the scripture in Mark 9:23, where it says, if you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. So the premise for me has always been, I want to know what those things are so that I can know what to believe for, so that I can begin to have a grid for what's possible, what's real, and what's true. So, so then the question is, and the other part of that, us believing for all things to be possible, is to realize that we're not forsaking or denying the sovereignty of God and what His perfect will is concerning anything. Okay? So if we're believing for all things and we're allowing Him to give us a grid for whatever that is or whatever it's about, then it's simply we're just going to have a grid, be in a place of believing, and whenever Father says or His perfect will is to do whatever with that, then that's where he will meet us in the fact of that we have a belief and a desire for whatever that is. So our part is, the scripture said, if you can believe. It didn't say if you can go read the latest bestseller new release from Destiny Image, or every book that's ever been printed about whatever, go get a seminary degree or whatever, and those are good things. And if Father tells you to do that, then you need to be obedient to do it. But the point is that the scripture says our part is to believe. And so we just simply need to stay in that place of believing. And so what I'm kind of, where this is coming from is this goes back to the conversation that got me in trouble 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And last Saturday I was reading and meditating on some scriptures about the new man. And the one that I got to was in Colossians 3:10. And that's just where Paul talks about putting on the new man. And I backed up a few verses. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things above, not on things on the earth. And when I read the next verse, the Lord just opened it up. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. You've already died, so why do you have to die again? The death that I believe Paul is talking about is the death that is required because of the wages of sin. And if Jesus has paid full those wages of sin, and the death that was required as a payment, If he's paid in full, then why do we have to die? Why would we believe that our physical body has to die? And there's more scriptures I'll throw out there for you too. But so the premise is basically, death has been defeated, and I am of the persuasion and belief that we really don't have to die. And this is not one of those things that I'm ever going to be dogmatic about it, because it still involves God's sovereignty and his will. And the example of this would be, one good example of this would be in John. At the end of John, where Peter is asking Jesus about, well, what about him? And Jesus says, if I will it, then what is it to you if he remains until I come again? So there's a perfect example in the scriptures that if Jesus willed it, then John could have, would have remained until he returned. And so, so here again, I can't stress this enough, that it's just a matter of, we simply, out of a place of belief, we just are continuing to ask, Father, what's possible? What are all things? Because I just want to have a grid for what's possible. I want to know what's true, what's real, and what's possible, so that I can begin to believe for those things. And then the rest is up to Father, when and how he would ever bring me into the reality of that. And as you've heard us share, I don't know how many months ago, when the Father spoke of, he said, do you realize what you're contending for is stored up for another generation? And then he told Virginia that, but you can have it. So that's what a lot of this stuff has been about the last several weeks and months, is for us to realize the responsibility, the process, that the kingdom of heaven is not a place of convenience. It says that the violent take it by force, and violence has nothing to do with being comfortable or convenient. If you want the kingdom of heaven and you desire it, then it's there waiting for you to do whatever it is, to do whatever that would look like for you, to grab hold of whatever that is in the kingdom that Father is revealed, or whatever you're going after. And so to go back to the John scripture, these are the four stories that I know of, and there's probably others. At the end of the Father of Lights movie, Ravi Kandal, in all of the extra clips that didn't make it in the movie, in the Father of Lights video, in the extra part of that, he shares a story where the Father sent him out on a train on one of his excursions. He ends up, the Father said, get off here and start walking in the jungle in India. The Father just tells him to go walk out into the middle of the jungle. And he gets out there, the Father starts telling him about creation and why he created this and different stuff like that. Well, then at some point he hears this old man calling his name. Calls him by his name. So he follows this old man to this little village where all these people are living. Now, this is really going to mess with your grid right now. All of them were naked and unashamed. And some of them were several hundreds of years old. And their assignment every day was to receive an assignment from the Father. The Father would give them a name of someone in the earth, and they would pray for them that day. That's their assignment. So what if it is the Father's will for this person to remain several hundred years? The point is simply for us to believe that it's possible. And if it's God's will for me to walk 140, 50, whatever, however many years, then praise God. I pray that that would happen. But the point is that it comes back to simply just believing in what's possible. And God will work the rest of it out for us, as we just yield and let him bring us through it. The other story is Sadhu Sundar Singh, if you've ever heard of him. He was on one of his little treks up into the Himalayan mountains, and he found an old man down in a cave that was, I don't even remember now how old he was, but he was several, like in the 200 and 300 year old range. And he lived in a cave, and he prayed every day. He was there to intercede. That's all he did. So the Father allowed him to remain, hidden in a cave so that he could pray and intercede for whatever that was about. So then Ian Clayton has experienced a couple of those that remain, and Bobby Connor talks about them as well. So the point here again, the point is just simply, it's what's possible. What is possible? That's the only direction that I'm leading any one of us, is what is possible, Father, what is possible, because I want to believe and I want to know what is possible. So I'm going to take you through some of the scriptures. Actually, before I do that, I brought up a couple of okay, where do I want to start? Okay, so if I'm saying that we don't have to die, okay, I'm going to share with you some of the stuff that the world is already talking about concerning this. Okay? We know that the enemy always perverts what God does, right? All right, I'll start with this one. Google, you need to pay attention to Google. Google is buying up a lot of companies right now. They are going to be a major player in the years to come. They are setting themselves up for, if you remember when Jason was here, we are a generation of transition. So they are setting themselves up to make this transition into what's coming. Just pay attention to Google, because they're getting into a lot of stuff. One of them, off subject, is that they are beginning to fund and invest in to grow synthetic beef in a lab. You can go look it up. They're speaking openly about it. They're not afraid to talk about it, but they're talking about literally growing beef in a lab and selling it to us as a patty. Okay? You just go check all this stuff out. For real, we got homework to do. So it's just time to do your homework and just let Father reveal to you whatever he wants to reveal to you. All right. This company, I don't know if they formed this company or if they bought a company and changed the name, but this company is called Calico. And this is one of the headlines. Where'd it go? This is their, it's the first one. This is the headline on CNN.com. Google's new company, Calico. The headline reads, "How Google's Calico aims to fight aging and solve death." What do you think they're going after? They don't want to die anymore. And they're going to use science and technology to do it. All right, let's go to the next one. A good word for you to write down and to go research for yourself is transhumanism. Transhumanism, which is beyond human. A higher evolution of human is a simplistic way of defining it. But basically, the objective of transhumanism is, through science and technology, is to make the human race better, stronger, smarter, and to live forever. They're already talking about this stuff. They're already developing the technology and all. See, the thing is what we get to hear about, we got to realize that there's no telling how much further down the road they really are. They're only letting us hear little glimpses or bleeps about whatever, but we've got to realize that they're way further down the road than what we realize. This was an interesting one. If you're not familiar with Mormons, one of their beliefs is that they are going to become gods and have their own universe or something like that. That sounds a lot like a sun manifesting, doesn't it? You remember the scripture when I threw out there where Jesus called us gods? It is in the Bible. Okay, well, the Mormons have taken this one. They actually have the Mormon Transhumanistic Association. And their website is called transfigurism.org. And they're completely open to whatever that ends up looking like, to allowing science and technology to prolong life, to better life, or whatever. This is an article on Huffington Post. I thought this one was really interesting. It said, I'm an atheist, therefore I'm transhumanist. Therefore, I'm a transhumanist. And in this article, it says that in the next decade, atheists, agnostics, and those unaffiliated with religion is likely to break through the billion-person mark. That's a seventh of the population. If there's 7 billion people on the planet, that's a seventh of the population that's in that group. Okay? This is the part that I wanted to read to you out of the article. Transhumanists want more guarantees than just death, consumerism, and offspring. Much more. They want to be better, smarter, stronger, perhaps even perfect and immortal if science can make them that way. Most transhumanists believe it can. Jackie saying that, was that the first human clone, would you call it? Okay. Yeah, Jackie's saying they've had the first human clone 3 or 4 years ago. We just don't know about it. This guy is a Hindu, Prahlad Jani. He's like 70 years old. And it says that he hasn't eaten or drank for 70 years. And if you read the article, he talks about the God that he meditates to and stuff like that. So he's accessing something demonically. Okay? It says the doctors are baffled by a man who doesn't eat or drink. The Indian scientists studied a man for 15 days and are baffled how he survives. And they haven't released any of the research from him, apparently. Or they're holding it back or something. I didn't read a whole lot about that one. So the whole point of bringing some of this stuff to you... Oh. And there's a woman. Now this one, from our friend Sandy. This woman is J-A-S-M-U-H-E-E-N. And she talks about eating light. I haven't read a lot of it. I don't know how long she's been doing it. But she uses she talks about the I am, the divine one, the inner self. It's very New Agey words and language. So this right here is the very thing and reason why we got to discern something. Because she's talking about connecting with the God within you. So, but she's talking about eating light and not having to eat and stuff. See the last one. Oh, this one was cool. We got this because I asked our friend Sandy about what that woman's name was, because she's the one that told us about it. Another book for the list is Eat My Flesh and Drink My Blood by Anna Mendez Farrell. This is a quote where this book came from. Uh, her husband, she says in the book that her husband fasts like no one she's ever known before. And on an extended fast, blah, 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 angels, this one encounter, angels descended to feed him with a meal of light while taking communion. So there's you a testimony of what's real. Okay? And then we just got to hear about this other guy. I asked our friend Doug if he knew the guy's name. But if you've seen the movie Finger of God, I think her and her husband were in Finger of God, and they're the older couple that had the manna and the gold dust and the oil and all that stuff that was always appearing. Harold and Kay Myers? Byers? Okay, because we got to meet Kay earlier this year. We got to meet her. We got to meet her up in Saluda with our friend Doug, and she was telling us about a man that's in Indonesia. I think he's somewhere around in that area. And I tried to ask Doug if he got the name of the guy, but he hasn't gotten any more information yet. But Kay was going to meet this gentleman and even minister with him or something. I think Joshua Mills was bringing him in or something like that. But this man has caught a revelation of John 6, and that'll be one of the scriptures that I'm going to read before we get out of here. And basically, he's caught a revelation about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and he hasn't had to eat real food in I don't remember how many months. So he is, by revelation, he has learned how to appropriate that life in Christ without the external need or necessity for food. He's learned how to draw from another source. He's learned how to draw life from Christ within him. So that's what we've got to learn how to do. So I'm going to give you some of the scriptures. So a lot of this, like I said, came from, this was the conversation that I had with the guy two or three weeks ago that I provoked that spirit. And I was like, I knew he was coming from an intellectual place. So it was just the mind of man and religious spirit or whatever. And I was provoking that thing. And basically I just said, my eschatology is not one that involves Jesus coming to get me and taking me somewhere, but for me to manifest as a son so that the restoration of all things can happen. And oh yeah, by the way, you don't have to die. I just threw that out there at him. And then that's when I was called a heretic, basically, and blah, blah, blah. So last week is when the Father really brought this out to me because I wasn't looking for it. And that's when he caused that scripture in Colossians to pop off the page that you've died. You've died. And the death that he's talking about is the death that is required by the law through sin. Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Okay? The sting of death is sin. So if all things are being restored and we believe that it's possible to fully have a restored soul. Oh, and another scripture that really goes along with this is the one in 1 John 3:9 where it says, those that are born of God sin not. Okay, so what are we going to do with that one? And it all goes back to what we've been talking about for quite a while. The only reason that we're struggling with sin or whatever is because of the soul is not fully restored yet. It's just that simple. Any sin that is at work in our life is coming in and out of our soul because it's a broken, wounded place that hasn't been healed yet. But as we continue to believe and say yes to the Father to allow Him to bring us into the reality of having a fully restored soul, sin will no longer have a place in us. Right? I mean, by faith, I mean, logically reasoning, I mean, that would... But here again, it's what is possible because that's what I want to believe for. So briefly, I'm just going to read some of the scriptures that really stood out to me. And we'll just wrap this up. So John 6, 41 through 58. This is the chapter when half of the people walked away because, whoa, that's a pretty strong word. Can't do that one. And then Peter said, well, you have the words that lead to eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. So he says, I am the bread which came down from heaven in verse 41, and I have come down from heaven. I'm going to skip through a lot of it, but this whole passage is a really good one to sit and meditate on with the Father. So he says, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that no one may eat of and not die. He just said, if we eat the manna that comes down from heaven, that we will not die. It is in the Bible. Okay? So, if you fast forward a little bit, it's kind of the same scenario. You don't have to die. If you eat of him, you eat of that manna, you eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, you have life. Okay, over in John 8, this one is an even better one, I think. John 8, 48, starting 48, says, the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? I do not have a demon. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Okay? Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? He goes on to tell him who he is. And this is the passage when he says, I am. Before Abraham, I am. So another good scripture is in Romans chapter 7. And this is, what is it? The Romans 6, 7, and 8. These are like the three biggest theological debating chapters, you know. I'm not here to argue. Because literally we could argue, I don't have to die, or no, you do have to die. You could take these scriptures and argue either way. Okay? So the whole premise, what is possible, what is true, what is real, because that's what I want to believe for, and Father's going to take care of the rest. Okay? So at the end of Romans 7, it says, O wretched man that I am, it's in verse 24, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he goes on to talk about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then he's talking about the flesh some more. And then I believe he answers his question over here in 8, 9, 10, 11. So verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now here's the answer. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That same life that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you, and it is that same life that by faith we access and we release, we appropriate that. We're learning how to release more life in our soul, in our body, drawing from the life that has been given to us in Christ. Now the next one is cool. 2 Corinthians. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, I'll go ahead and read that one first. So that's the one, O death, where's your sting? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you've been given the victory over sin and death. It's the finished work of the cross. He's paid in full the wages that were owed of sin and death. They've been paid in full. And so we're beginning to learn how to understand and to appropriate the life that has been given to us in Christ. So the next one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now this is I'm going to read the whole, I'm going to read verse 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. One example that comes to mind of that, present with the Lord, absent from the body, is there's a testimony of Maria Woodworth Etter, where she was standing at a podium, frozen. Was it for more than 24 hours? 3 days? She was frozen at a podium, and the journalists were poking and prodding her, making sure she wasn't pulling a joke. But she was absent from her body for 3 days and present with the Lord while her body was frozen in front of that pulpit. Okay? Being absent from your body doesn't mean that you're dead. It just means that you're no longer conscious of this realm and you're conscious of where you are in heaven at that moment. Okay? And then this is the big one, you know, that would really, this is kind of, can go, this is where the argument really gets heated. Hebrews 9. Okay, if you say that Paul wrote Hebrews, I'm just going to say Paul wrote Hebrews. So Paul is writing here. He's talking about the greatness of Christ's sacrifice, that he doesn't have to go once a year to offer his blood like the high priest did on Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur every year in the seventh month, the high priest would go and offer the blood beyond the veil once a year for the sins of Israel. So he's talking about the greatness of Christ's sacrifice, that he entered the holy place not made with hands, which are a copy, but he entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And here's the verse. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once. Christ was offered once for the death that is required by sin, to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So here again, it's not a matter of, all right, the elementary things, going back into Hebrews 6. What are the elementary things? The laying on of hands, the baptisms, and the resurrection of the dead, or also the raising of the dead. So if we have a raising dead team in our city and they're going after raising the dead, why would I think I would have to die if I'm going to go raise dead people and death is being overcome? Death is going to have to be overcome within you for you to appropriate the faith to raise that dead person, right? So, death has been overcome. And it's just, I'm going to keep saying it. It's just for us to believe for what is possible and let Father work out all the other details concerning that. You know? Yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died, He rose with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I mean, there's basic foundational tenets of faith that are non-negotiable. But this is one of those things that we don't understand yet. And we just need to believe for what's possible. And like I said, let Father reveal it to us as we walk this thing out. So, if the world is already getting ready, they're already doing things, they're already talking about prolonging life, immortality, and they believe through science and technology that they can do these things, then why is it foolish for us to think, by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, why is it foolish for us to think that we wouldn't have to die because of what He's done for us? And we're gonna put science and technology higher than what God can do. And this is why we need discernment. Because there might be a day when these little RFID chips that they want to use for the medical industry and start putting all of our medical records on these little chips and implant them in our body. This is why we need discernment. We really need to know, Father, are you wanting me to do that? He might say yes, He might say no. I don't know what He's going to say about it, because I haven't really asked Him about it. But no matter what, we've got to realize, if it says all things are possible with God, then that's where we need to live, in that realm of reality that all things are possible, and just let Father reveal what those things are, so that we can just believe and then let Him give us a grid and not be afraid to talk openly about it. And then obviously, you know, you want to talk with those that are like heart, like faith, that are can really just, let's talk about some stuff. I'm not trying to prove I'm right or wrong. I'm just throwing out the possibility of something, you know? And God can correct me if I'm right or wrong or whatever's going on. So I really felt like So the other one last thing is, I may have said this before, but as we manifest, you know, I'm believing that I will fully manifest as a son in my days in the earth. But I don't know if that's really what's going to happen. But I'm believing for it because I know it's possible. So if I'm believing that I'm going to manifest as a son in the earth in my day, then I know when Christ is fully formed in me that eternal life will be made manifest in me. And just as Jesus stood on that mountain with Moses and Elijah and was transfigured, there can be those moments of transfiguration. And so even going a step further, Jesus said, I willingly lay down my life and I take it up again. We've got to realize that as we manifest as sons and we learn and understand the maturity and the responsibility of these things, that these are the thoughts that I have. There could be a day where God might tell you, today I want you to lay down your life. Because that's what Jesus did. He already knew what was going to happen. But there could be a day where God might say, I want you to lay down your life today. And that is the obedience of a manifested son, of a mature son, to lay down their life. Because Jesus could have called all the angels to come. He could have set up camp. He could have taken over. It was within his power to do it. And so that's the obedience that we're going to come into if we continue to yield and walk this thing out with him. So Mark 9:23, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. So I would encourage you to begin to ask the Father, what are those things? Father, I want to know what all things are. And I want to know what to begin to believe for. And so as he begins to give us a grid for that, then he'll bring us into the reality of it. And going back to that word of contending, we're contending, you've heard us say it several times, we're contending for we're just contending for what's possible. So if we're contending for these things, Father might let us walk in a measure of it, okay? Even though there's other things that we know are possible or real, but we might only walk in a measure of it. Because he said that it's been stored up for another generation. So as we learn how to contend for these things and just let him reveal them to us, as he does. Oh yeah, one other thing that I want to throw out there. Virginia had a cool encounter about a year ago or a year and a half ago with the angel Daniel. Okay, cool. A year and a half ago, Virginia had this encounter with this angel named Daniel. And in this encounter, the angel was showing her how to put on, or that it was a garment. I'll share the... But he was showing her that putting on immortality is like putting on a garment. And she saw the garment of immortality in this encounter with this angel. And then another part was about the trans relocation station, which involved a bus, and that people use this bus in dire need and stuff, and they get trans relocated on this bus, and the angels that are assigned to the bus. And then the last part was supernatural food. Father showing Virginia about preparing a table of supernatural food.
I never understood the third part of this encounter. And I never saw until just now, I had this total download, that it's all connected. Because in this third part, Daniel from the Bible was on a fast. And then the Lord took him to this room where all these angels were eating food. And so now I understand after what you shared, it's like it's the same thing. It's all one and the same. It has to do with eating, you know, supernatural provision, our sustenance being from a different source, an eternal source, and that's tied together with the garment of immortality.
Amen. Amen. Is everybody okay? Okay. So let's pray. So, Father, I just thank you, Father, for what you're doing, and Father, for the truth being revealed to each and every one of us. And Father, I bless our relationship with you. Father, I bless our times of communion with you. Father, our times of taking communion, our times of just sitting with you, meditating and praying. Father, I bless each and every person's time with you, that it would be rich, that it would be full of life, that it would be full, Father, of your presence and just encountering you. And Father, their ears hearing and their eyes seeing what you have for them to hear and to see and to know and to understand. And I just thank you, Father, for what is possible. And I thank you for all things being possible. And I thank you, Father, that in Christ you have given us all things. And Father, I thank you that you are beginning to reveal what those things are. And Father, I thank you for just giving us the understanding and a grid, Father, just to know what is possible and what to believe for and what is real and true in you, in your spirit. And so I just thank you, Father, Lord, for the truth being revealed in all things. and for sending your Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. And Father, for being in this day and generation, for getting to hear the things that we're getting to hear, to beginning to understand, Father, more and more the things of heaven, of being a spirit, of accessing the things of heaven, of living out of heaven. And I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. And Father, I bless the process that you have each one of us going through right now. And Father, I bless the process and I bless the fruit. Father, I bless the strength that you are working within each and every one of us. Father, I bless the fruit that will come from this process, Father, from the stripping, from the crushing, from the breaking. Father, just everything that you're doing within each and every one of us. Father, I bless the process, Father. And Lord, I even ask that we would begin to know, Father, how to glory in our tribulations, Father. Lord, that we would understand more and more how to glory in our tribulations, knowing that hope is going to be produced out of that tribulation. Father, to have greater faith, greater understanding, greater strength, Father, to run the race and to persevere and to stand in the days ahead, Father. As these things are beginning to unfold in the earth, Father, I just thank you. Thank you for giving us a grid, Father. And for more and more, Father, I pray, Father, that we would understand what it means to not cast our pearls before swine. Father, those things that you've revealed to us that are precious, that are holy, that, Father, we would discern, Father, when to share and when not to share. And, Father, that I thank you, Father, for surrounding us with friends, surrounding us with other brothers and sisters in Christ that are running with us, Father. Lord, that are contending and believing for these same things, and that all together, Father, we can just grow together. We can run together. And that, Lord, we can just fully, all of us, come into the kingdom, Father, and to walk in the fullness of all that you've given to us. And I just thank you, Father. And I just give you praise and glory and honor. I give you praise and glory and honor, Father. And Lord, to really understand what it means to become a child. And Father, to become childlike so that we can enter into the kingdom, Father. Lord, that we can let go of the knowledge that we need to let go of and allow you to give us, Father, a new grid, a new measure of knowledge, Father, about something. That, Father, we would not hold on to things so tightly that you wouldn't be able to get through our will, that you wouldn't be able to get through whatever it is, Father, to teach us something new, to add to what we already know, so that we can grow and increase in you, in the earth and in your creation. And I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the wages of sin have been paid in full, and that sin and death have been overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of the finished work of the cross. And I just thank you, Father, that death has been defeated, that death has been overcome, and that sin will not be our master. But Father, I thank you that we are under your yoke, Father, walking in your yoke with you. Father, living in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Father, that by faith now we come up under that law. Father, by faith we live out of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And Father, anything in us that is resonating with the law, with living out of law and not out of grace, I ask for it to be revealed tonight, Father, that you would reveal in us any places that are not in agreement with grace and truth, but are in agreement with the law, with the works of the flesh, with external things, Father. I just thank you, Father, that we have been justified by our faith. That we have been justified by our faith, that we have been counted righteousness because we have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We just thank you, Father, for all that is ours. We just thank you for our inheritance and for more and more, Father, just to reveal, Father, I just thank you, Father, for more and more being revealed in us and to us. And I just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That right there is what I do a lot. I don't sit and watch teachings all the time and all that stuff. It's good. But you really need to hone out some time and start praying into some stuff and just get with God and start working through some stuff. Like we've talked about it before, you don't need us. We're here to help you. We're here to share with you the truth that Father's given to us. But it's time for us to grow up. And part of that growing up is you having a relationship with God. Out of your relationship with Him, He will reveal to you whatever He wants to reveal to you and whatever He wants to do with you. So just begin to engage with Him. Begin to interact with Him. Begin to cultivate a stronger, deeper relationship with Him. Don't let anything hold you back from that. Because that's paramount in where this is going. Your relationship is not with me or any other human being. Your relationship is with Father God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one that we're all supposed to have a relationship with. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can encourage and admonish and edify each other and love one another and speak truth to each other, hear each other's heart, hopefully be a blessing to each other, and really model what it looks like to live in the kingdom more and more.